Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, April the 21st, 2026. 14 and a half minutes past the hour, and as many of you know, we are headed into the primary in just, 14 days now, and there is a Republican gubernatorial primary that will happen in just 14 days. We have Vivek Ramaswamy facing off against Casey Putch, facing off against the campaign of Heather Hill, but over the last few days, there has been a very interesting story regarding the campaign of Heather Hill. Now, I want to read this just as I have it. 2 days after Ohio Republican gubernatorial candidate Heather Hill abruptly dropped her running mate, 17 days before the May 5th primary, the split between Hill and ousted Lieutenant Governor candidate Stuart Motes has spiraled into a public brawl playing out across Facebook, text message screenshots, and a string of YouTube videos that grew more personal by the hour. And by the way, it looks, according to law, as if Heather Hill cannot drop Mr. Motes before the primary on May the 5th because of election law, so his name will appear on the ballot, but I don't think at this point he is any longer with the campaign. Now, joining us this morning, we are so glad live here to be joined by former running mate of Heather Hill, Stuart Motes. Stuart, how are you?
Good morning. Oh, I'm fantastic, Scott. I appreciate you asking. I mean, to be out from under that narcissistic, lying Heather Hill for governor, I mean, the sun's shining bright this morning, brother.
Well, Stuart, I got to ask, how did you meet Heather Hill and become a part of this campaign?
Yeah, so pretty simple. I was running my own governor campaign, really grassroots, really basic. I was starting to bow out because I could see the difficulties in signatures and campaign funding, and I had my fun with it, you know, just in my local area of Dayton. And then Heather Hill reaches out to me on Facebook Messenger, and she's like, "Hey, Stu, I see you're running. I wish you good luck, and then I'd like to meet with you." I respond back, and I say, "Well, I'm actually dropping out. You know, I'll save the five-hour round trip for myself and your time. Don't worry about it." And then she's like, no, don't drop out. We need more good candidates like you running for office." And so I make the five-hour round trip at her request. And before I left that evening, she's begging me to be her lieutenant governor candidate. I tell her that, obviously, I was like, I've been married long enough to know that I need to go talk to the wife, talk to my church elders, think about it. And I'd give her an answer in 3 or 4 days. So I had some concerns, but I was told a bunch of stuff that ended up never coming to fruition. And it was falsities, and I wish I could go over the details of that, but I did sign an NDA, and from her own community members, I've been privately messaged several times that there will be a lawsuit coming, and she has threatened lawsuits on half the town. Not my words, her, so I have to be careful what I disclose, because I don't want to give any legal traction for a possible lawsuit coming from Miss Hill.
So you signed a non-disclosure agreement. That's what an NDA is. How has this campaign developed? I believe you joined up with her early this year. What have the last 5 months been like?
So it was around beginning of December. I know it was before the holidays. So what's been like has been interesting at best. So part of that initial agreement was, like, look, I'm an optimistic, positive person. I am not a politician, first and foremost. I have integrity and character, something that I wished other people would have. But we were supposed to run this campaign on ideas. here's what we stand for, here's what we're going to do, here's the grassroots common sense issues that we're going to benefit the Ohio people. And that's really what it is. It's like, hey, governing should be simple. Is this best for Ohioans or not? It has nothing to do with corporate sponsorships and campaign funding. That shouldn't play into your decision making. And we were not going to mudsling other candidates. We weren't going to do that, because citizens and voters, they're tired of that. They're tired of seeing every commercial, every political commercial, bashing the other opponent, and they say nothing about what they're going to do. Well, very quickly, Ms. Hill just kept putting out negativity, bashing other opponents, even when they were found to be untrue. So we had a conference call with a candidate that joined the race right around the holidays. I was part of that video conference call, and we agreed, the three of us, that we would not go after each other, we'd run a clean campaign. Well, Ms. Hill, within short measure, and the receipts are online, just started blasting this candidate, calling him an atheist, saying he didn't support the abolishment of property taxes, and he clearly denied being an atheist. He's not. If you watch any of his videos or ask him, he says he's a Christian man. And even when that truth became inconvenient to Heather, she still just kept putting it out there over and over and over again on the campaign. And you'll see, I never shared it. I never commented on it. Because behind the scenes, I'm like, Heather, I was like, what are you doing? I was like, he wasn't sure about property taxes on that very first call. And I asked him, I was like, hey, go talk to the Axe Attacks movement, Brian Massey, John Leather, you know, Commissioner Plechnik, and they'll help inform your decision. So within a week, this other candidate, I mean, he signed the petition, and he was all for axing the property tax. But Ms. Hill just kept putting it out there on the campaign repeatedly. Now, I'm sure she's taking it down now, but the internet's forever. And don't think the other candidate doesn't have all the receipts. Lots of people have the receipts. But she just kept spreading lies out there, smearing other candidates when it wasn't true. And it gets to a point where it's like, you know, look, my integrity means more than any political gain. I mean, I was really hoping that, you know, she could be contained in a sense to where, hey, we can still do some good. Because, again, I'm not a politician. I mean, I sacrificed over $25,000 of my own family's money to help her in this race. Spent thousands of hours getting petition signatures, going all over the state, you know, propping her up, basically covering for her, for her lack of substance. And finally, it just got to the point where it's like, I'm telling my wife, it's like, I can't wait for May 5th so I can be off the crazy train. And she's just, you know, submarining her own campaign over and over. Because people aren't stupid. I mean, they see the wishy-washy. They see the lies going out there. And I've had so many people like, look, you need to disassociate yourself with her because she has no integrity. And finally, just got to the point where I'm like, Heather, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And then in true Heather fashion, like, every person who's left the campaign, there's no accountability. It's all about, it's victimhood. It's like, oh, they're being paid off by one of the other candidates. Oh, they're a Casey Putsch plant, or they're a Ramaswamy plant. They were sent here to submarine our campaign because they're scared to death that they know we're going to win the governorship. I mean, these are good people. Like, good people, non-paid, absolute 100% volunteers giving their time and money to the campaign. And then as soon as they leave the campaign, she absolutely tries to destroy their character. And so it was no shock when she comes out with all these crazy lies about me, you know, trying to play the victim card and get some sort of, you know, support or discredit me. Again, no shock.
Stewart, Casey Putsch obviously was the candidate who she was accusing of being an atheist. I want to run through some of the things that got this ball rolling over the weekend. In a Facebook post Saturday evening, Hill laid out a detailed set of accusations against Motes. She wrote that Motes had been warned several times to stop pulling me close to him and putting his arm around me during photo shoots and videos. She said that at a Friday campaign event, Motes made many disrespectful comments about his wife, making our female campaign advisors uncomfortable and leery. Hill went further in both the post and a follow-up comment, claiming Motes had deliberately waited to act until the final days before the primary. We believe this is absolutely not a coincidence that he waited until right before the primary to pull this stunt, Hill wrote. Politics is dirty, but we have to rise above it. In a reply to her own post, she added, I promise you this was not an accident that he pulled this stunt right before the primary. Hill did not name any outside campaign or actor and did not offer evidence to support the suggestion that the timing was orchestrated. A separate graphic posted by the campaign stated, it does not tolerate or support racial slurs, abusive language, insubordination, backstabbing, nor business irresponsibility violations. Hill went on to accuse Motes of calling her an N-word bitch, a claim Motes has publicly denied. Well, Stuart, there's a lot there.
There's a lot there. Yes, there is, Scott. I'll tell you what, you know, that photo shoot that she's talking about, so, I mean, let's just, like, I know it's my word against hers, but let's just put some facts out there, albeit very inconvenient for Heather's claims, but her husband was the one that was taking the pictures. Now, you really think, does anyone really think that a husband, say, within 10, 15 feet of his wife and another man, if he was pulling his wife in close to him or putting his arm around him in some sort of, I guess, sexual or coming on to her way, you think he wouldn't want to say anything? My wife was also right off of camera. She was there as well. Do you think that my wife, who is very good looking, do you think she's gonna not say something? Like just think about this scenario. Like, that is absolutely absurd. And we won't even go into the depths of what Heather looks like physically, but, you know, a lot of, either way, I'll leave it at that because I don't want to go to that level. But the claims that I was coming on to her sexually is absolutely absurd. That event that she's talking about, so let me talk about that. So we had a meet the greet in basically Heather's hometown. Like, she lives just, 20 minutes from Zanesville. So the event was in Zanesville. It was well publicized, and exactly two people showed up, Scott. Two people. So that has indication of Heather's support from her own hometown. So, yes, our campaign team was there a good bit, and we're just telling stories. And something that I like to joke around about, someone's talking about my businesses. I own a couple tree services. I'm a climber, arborist. And I said, hey, I was like, I have over $3 million worth of life insurance on me, because every time I'd buy another piece of equipment, my wife would force me to get up my life insurance. So I said, look, if something happens to me, I was like, don't believe it if my wife is crying at the funeral because she just became a millionaire. And so that was, I'm guessing that's what Heather considered disrespectful comments about my wife. And I'll guarantee you, no one there, the ladies there, were not uncomfortable, because she asked me to fire one of those ladies the next day. Maybe it was 2 days later. I think it was the next day. And I've since spoken with her, and she was like, that's laughable. She was like, obviously I was there. She was like, there's none of us females were leery. It's just ridiculous. So, but again, I did a post last night, and I put a lot of receipts on there. Just public comments, again, so there's no NDA violation. So the absurdity of, you know, here's a retired military guy with combat service, thousands of hours of community service, and then she puts out these posts because I left the campaign trying to destroy my character, my family, my marriage, my businesses. I mean, how low can a person go? I mean, how low, Scott, can a person go? And the point I was making, too, is it's just not my family she was trying to ruin. Like, what do you think all the employees that work for me? It's their families, too. I mean, they're depending on my businesses to provide for their families, too. So Heather, just because she's delusional and a lunatic, a narcissist, and obviously a liar, she decided to go nuclear on me and my family and my company and the families of my company. So, I mean, and that's just the public stuff that's out there that I can talk about. Well, I mean, I don't know when the NDA actually, I don't know if it ever sunsets, but good Lord. But it's not even, she's not going to live rent-free in my head, Scott. Well, I slept perfectly fine last night. I had my integrity intact. I know who I am. I'm not trying to put some facade out there and trash everyone's lives that are around me.
Okay. Stuart, I want to run through these. You talked about the disrespectful comments made about your wife. Has anybody tried to get you out of this campaign as it would be orchestrated, which she's claiming?
100% not. I have not been contacted by anybody. And here's the thing. I put it out there because she has a couple minions, trolls on the internet, and I think it might be Heather fake accounts. I don't know. But I put it out there. Look, if someone's so sure that I'm getting paid off or that, you know, I've been influenced by another campaign, put $500,000 up. I'll put it up, too. I'll get a loan for it. Let's put $500,000 up, give it to a neutral attorney, and I will release all visibility of all accounts, all my phone records, an investigative firm, plus whoever is willing to put up the other $500,000, and winner take all. So if your accusations are true, you get $500,000 of my money. If not, you know what? My wife and I are going on vacation.
Well, I think maybe the most damaging thing that she accused you of was calling her an N-word bitch. Did that ever happen?
I have never said that to Heather, 100%. But this is Heather's play card. I mean, you're going to play the race card or the victim card. It's over and over. And again, like, you can look. I mean, there's a long history of receipts online. If something doesn't go right, I mean, Scott, she sued the Ohio GOP for sexism and racism. I mean, just because she didn't get the endorsement. I mean, again, the receipts are out there. I mean, this is Heather Hill's playbook. It's oh, victim card, oh, race card, because there's no substance there, and there's no accountability. I think part of that narcissistic temperament or ideology of hers is that one of the problems is you just don't take any accountability for anything. So you can never say, hey, I took a misstep here and there. It's you just find someone or something to blame it on.
Have you ever used the N-word?
1,000%, Scott. You ask anyone on the planet if they've used the N-word at some point in their life.
Had you 100%. Had you ever used it in front of her?
No, absolutely not. I'm more tact and truth than that.
Okay. Now, have you ever called her a bitch? Forget the N-word. Has that ever happened in front of her or around her?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay. Now, you responded, and I want to get some of these quotes in here because it was very heavy-duty stuff here. You said she has zero integrity and is a terrible person, but I'm not going to air out the details. I truly hope she seeks counseling for her delusion and mental issues. Let's get to a few of these other quotes here. You said that you called her a deranged lunatic narcissist. You said, yep. Trust me, there is no way on earth that I would pull... Now, this is about the pulling her close in the photo shoot. You said, trust me, there is no way on earth that I would pull you in close to me or put my arm around you, especially in the manner that your delusional lunatic mind has made up. You called her physically disgusting. No one, even with a handful of blue pills, would be able to actually do anything with you. It's that repulsive. And the only thing more disgusting than you physically is what's on the inside. Your soul is black. Now, Stuart, those are some heavy-duty comments. Why so personal there?
Well, Scott, this is in response. So I ask people, and I understand. I mean, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. And here's the thing, like, you can only turn the other cheek so many times until you're getting hit in the face, and you have to stand up for yourself, for your family, and your businesses. So think about this. So she's putting it out there. So people are like, oh, you shouldn't be so mean to her. It's like, look, she came after my marriage, Scott. My marriage, my family, my livelihood, the livelihood of my employees. So, I mean, I have a duty to my family and to the families of my employees to clap back and be like, you know what? And the thing is, in one of the ways you can say that, I don't say it's evidence, but it's like, hey, if someone is so grotesque physically, then I think that kind of aids. I mean, I understand me saying that's going to trigger a lot of people, and it doesn't sound great. But when you make it so personal that someone's attacking your marriage, I mean, making up a complete lie. Like I said, my wife and her, like I said, I found out you can't say one word, but it's a mentally delayed something or another. But that's her husband, right? So my wife and husband were there. They were there, Scott. This is a 100% lie that she is trying to ruin my family. So to think that, oh, well, you shouldn't call her disgusting and gross and that she's even uglier on the inside. I mean, okay, I mean, got you. If that's how you feel, great. But please tell me that someone's trying to ruin your family, that you're not going to emphatically defend that at some point.
Do you regret using the N-word in your life?
Sure. I thought, even that other word, the R-word. Scott, when I was growing up, I mean, my brothers and I, like, we call each other that. I mean, our schoolmates, it didn't mean what it means today. I mean, the Chronic album was in high school. It's like, the lyrics that I sang with some of my black friends growing up had the N-word in it. I mean, do I regret it? Yes. But I never used that in that derogatory term.
Mm-hmm. Now,
Scott, have you ever said the F-word in your life?
I'm sure most people have.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you because I don't want to put you on the spot, but Scott, if you told me that in your life you had never used the N-word, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't believe you, but I'm saying you'd be in the minority.
Well, I think one of the problems with this particular story is I think that Heather has spoken out in the past about people with mental issues. And I think maybe that's why, maybe even more the R-word, which people, I think, know what we're talking about here, was more offensive to people. I'm not sure which is most offensive. I'm not a gauge on that. But what did you actually say, so I don't misquote you, when you use the R word?
So it was about the photo shoot. So when Heather was lying and trying to ruin my family about the photo shoot, in the first response video, I said, and I didn't even realize I said it until someone pointed it out. And I'm like, well, my name's not Heather. I'm not going to take a video down just because it's inconvenient. And I'm not getting the support. Because any video she put out there that didn't have support and it'd start being negative, she'd pull it down immediately. But in my response, and the video's there, so, you know, Heather's receipts are there, and the receipts on this, for me, is there as well. But I said, I was there, and Heather's half R-word husband was the one taking the pictures.
Yeah. So you referred to her husband as that. And do you regret that now?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think he's very he's a slow, I mean, what's the term? I mean, he's definitely special needs in some capacity, or just very low IQ. But yes, to call him that, yes, I regret that. I would apologize to him if I would ever speak to him the rest of my life, which I will not. But yeah, I can say I apologize and I shouldn't have said that about him using the R word.
Okay. Stuart, this has become a story. I mean, the Dispatch is covering it. Major news outlets are covering it. How has this hurt you, or how do you think this will impact you? Because regardless of whether people think you did this or know that you did use the R word, it's out there now. And much like everything else in the internet world, people can see it, people can read it, they'll draw their own conclusions. What impact do you think this will have on you?
Absolutely zero, Scott, because I stand on truth. I mean, if someone has integrity, unlike Heather, then there's going to be some tough decisions that you're going to have to make in your life. But if you stand on that integrity and that truth, then Scott, I slept like a baby last night. You know, if I had a corporate job, I'm sure there'd be repercussions. Scott, I own my own businesses. So I'm not affected by that. I mean, I guess if there are some customers that are mad that I so aggressively defended my family and they don't want to use my businesses, that's fine. That's fine, Scott. There's plenty of people who respect that I will defend my family, and I might gain some customers. But if I don't, it's okay. I mean, that's a sacrifice. I mean, Scott, I sacrificed $25,000 of my own money in thousands of hours for the Heather Hill for governor campaign. I mean, obviously I'm not racist. I mean, Scott, like, how crazy is that? It's like I accepted her, you know, her invite for me to be lieutenant governor. I have spent that much money, all that time, singing her praises, trying to convince people that, you know, that this grassroots candidate, you know, could be good for Ohio. It's like, there's not a racist bone in my body. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't pass. Like, I'd hate to use common sense and facts here, because that'd be awful inconvenient to Heather's arguments and her accusations and her lies. But, I mean, that's the fact, Scott.
Who will you be voting for now in the May 5th Republican primary?
So I'm going to abstain, because I feel that's, again, it's like I'm a man of integrity, and I stand on that. I will not vote in the primary, considering the circumstances. I'm going to support Casey over Ramaswamy just because I don't think the endorsed candidate, I don't think a billionaire who has made nothing, produced nothing, has done nothing for Ohioans, I do not think he's best for Ohio.
Well, it's very interesting, Stuart, because Casey Plutch had his problems last week as well, and I certainly, everybody's got a choice to vote for who they want to vote for here, but one of his, I think it was a restaurant that was hosting a rally of his, denounced some remarks that he had made that people felt were pro-Nazi remarks, and, you know, here's where this particular story goes, and we'll just step on this for a second and get your thoughts. It says, candidate for Ohio Governor Casey Plutch is now hosting a rally at a secret location. This was last week, after a local restaurant said they would no longer host him due to his pro-Nazi remarks. And here's what we have on this. Due to an extreme harassment from the left and Vivek Shills, Casey has decided to relocate his event to protect the French restaurant owners, Plutch said on social media. Plutch received backlash after referring to a campaign event at a brewery as a beer hall rally. Plutch also began promoting his German heritage, telling supporters he would buy them a beer if they roll up in your favorite German car when promoting the beer hall rally. The event title was flagged by many in tandem with his last name as the Beer Hall Plutch, which is a historical event where Adolf Hitler first tried to seize control of Germany. Many claim the promotional event was a dog whistle for Nazism. What do you make of Casey Putsch's comments?
I'd take him at his word. Casey's a huge car guy. I mean, he has 350,000 subscribers on Casey the Car Guy. I think he's a huge car guy. Casey, what, it was Have a Beer or whatever it was. Again, it's like, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not in that campaign. You know, there's as many, there's so much footage out there of Casey, even before he was running for office. Same with Vivek. I mean, if someone's trying to come up with something negative, I mean, they're going to find it on you, or they're going to make it up in many cases. So I feel Casey is, I think he wants to do good for Ohioans. I really do. Because he's not gaining anything from it. Again, like, does he have a very generous use of the F word? Yes. Does he put it out there 100%? Is he a perfect candidate? No. But the fact is, there's going to be two candidates left in this primary, and people don't have to decide. It's like, do you want the established candidate? Do you want the endorsed candidate? Or do you want someone that's a little more grassroots? Yeah, a little rough around the edges, but who do you trust? Like, who are you going to trust that's going to have the average blue-collar Ohioans in their best interest? And then they're going to have to go on and face Amy. And I think Amy's going to be a tough out for the Republicans, because what she hasn't been doing is out there in all these crap shows. It's like, to me, it's almost the Democrats have been silent and letting President Trump and other people, you know, do their bidding for them.
Well, and just one more thing here, Stuart, on Casey Putsch. I think maybe even more than the pro-Nazi remarks, the alleged pro-Nazi remarks, was the video that he posted about inviting Vivek to play cowboys and Indians. That upset a lot of people. And was called racist. And that's one of the overtones of this campaign, and maybe why this story with you and Heather is getting a lot of attention, because a lot of people feel that one of the reasons a lot of Republicans are not backing Vivek Ramaswamy is because his name is Vivek Ramaswamy. He is not a white man, and he is of the Hindu religion. And we want to think that that's not the case, but when you post a video inviting him to play cowboys and Indians, and that's another candidate, it's kind of hard to swallow that.
I think Casey did that for entertainment purposes. Do I really think that Casey is, you know, trying to have a gunfight with Ramaswamy? No. Casey has a sense of humor that is going to be offensive to a lot of people. But again, like, it's, I mean, anyone can interpret that however they want. I mean, I've been called a lot of things too, and I actually think people they're tired of race baiting. Like, I think they're tired of identity politics. Something I would say in the campaign trail, or my former campaign trail, is like, look, 84% of registered Republicans identify as Christians. So I said, if that's so important to 84% of the population, I mean, 84% of Republicans, then I think it's a little odd that the Republican Party nominated a non-Christian, especially so early in the race. And this isn't about being racist or about being some sort of bigot. It's simply, you want to know where your principles and values, like, where that stems from. And that's why, because there's a lot of candidates. I'm not going to name them, but I was around so many candidates. And when they were giving their spills at the Lincoln Day dinners and at the endorsement meetings, Republican endorsement meetings, one after the other came up and said, I'm a Christian. This one lady, she'd always end her speech with reading a Bible passage. So this is the Republican Party, but then the person that you're nominating doesn't share those same core values and the beliefs and the principles that come from those beliefs. So I think it's fair game. I think that can be on the table as a discussion, and if you discuss it, I don't think it means that you're a bigot and you're a terrible person. It's like, these are public figures just like I have been, so you know what? If people want to say whatever they want to, especially if it's out there and it's proven and it's true, I think people should be able to have a real conversation without their character being questioned. Oh, well, you're a racist. Because that's not what the Heather Hill campaign. It's like, if you disagreed with her, then you had to be sexist or a racist most of the time. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, that's crazy. Like, can we not, in 2026, have adult conversations without everyone getting offended?
Well, Stuart, I think one of the problems with this is kind of where your public disagreement with Heather started, was that you did not like, as you said earlier on, you did not like her referring to Casey Putch as an atheist because you felt that was untrue and that he is a Christian. So religion, obviously a big deal for you. And a lot of people have said publicly and privately, including former gubernatorial candidate from 2022, Jim Renacci, on this show, that being a Hindu is a problem for Vivek Ramaswamy. Do you feel it's a problem for him, being a Hindu?
So, real quick, to rewind, the reason why it was an issue about the atheist thing, it wasn't that, I mean, Casey could be an atheist. If he says he's an atheist, then put it out there, sure. So it wasn't the fact that Heather kept saying he was an atheist. It's when Heather knew that he wasn't, and she just kept putting those lies out.
About the lie. It's
about the lie. It's not about, you know, whether he was an atheist, a Christian, or anything else. The only thing I think it could be a problem, and again, it's like, I don't care what religion you are. I honestly do not. I mean, there are great people that I've met in my military career all over the world. There are great people from every religion. And so I think the only, we'll call it problem in air quotes, the only problem with him being a Hindu in this political scene is, again, I just said it's like 84% of Republicans identify as Christians. So I think that could be problematic for him, but I'm not saying that being a Hindu is a bad thing. I'm just saying, if we're talking real, and this is about votes, yes.
Stuart, now I don't want to get into a big faith conversation here, but are you a Christian?
Yeah,
okay.
I am.
Does being a Christian, a Republican Christian, is it a problem for you that Vivek is of the Hindu religion?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
But you think
it could be
for other people?
I think if anyone has a fundamental difference than you do as a voter, I think it's up to you to decide whether that fundamental difference will sway your vote or not. To me, this is almost no different than, look, I have military service. And if a candidate has military service similar to me, then there's a certain thing that I'm going to, you know, I mean, there's a certain bias or whatever, a certain credit that I'm going to give this person. It's like, hey, military service is important to me because I think it reveals your character and you have, you know, you are trained in discipline and integrity. So that may sway me to vote for someone that has that. And I think the religion is the same thing. It's like, look, if one of my core principles as a person is Christianity, then, and that's important to me, then I may look for that commonality in a candidate. That's it.
So what is your problem? As you said, you will probably not vote for Vivek Ramaswamy in this primary. Well, you're not going to vote for anybody. You're going to abstain in the primary. But
yeah,
I think
that's an honorable thing to do.
Yeah, but it sounds like you would tend more toward Putch if you were going to be voting. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it has nothing to do with religion.
Okay, so what is your problem with Ramaswamy?
I don't think my problem. My concern is that he was running for president, and he was supposed to be on the Doge team. So this is a big thing. Like, if we're going to cover the $20 billion in the property tax abolition, then we need someone who's really going to Doge. So if you remember, Scott, you know how many days Ramaswamy was part of that Doge team once it kicked off?
It wasn't very long.
Zero. It was zero, Scott. Literally, the day after the inauguration, he quit the Doge team, so not one day. So one of my concerns is that he talks about Doging Ohio and coming up with savings, but he literally didn't spend one day on the Doge team. And then I question his incentives because, like, okay, most people that are pursuing money, and then once you have all the money in the world, then to me, I believe you're pursuing power. And do I really think, so here's someone born into, you know, a doctor family, and obviously he's a billionaire. It's very questionable about how he became a billionaire, but let's run this scenario through, Scott. Do you feel what keeps you and I up at night? Has that ever kept Ramaswamy up at night? Has Ramaswamy ever gotten to the end of the month and has he had to make the decision, should I pay my mortgage, my car payment, or my insurance, or put food on the table? You and I both know the answer. So I'm concerned that one of our choices, Ramaswamy for governor, or, well, you know, for the primary, is that here's a person that just cannot relate to you and me. He's never had a callus on his hand, as far as I can tell. He's never worked a manual day in his life. I mean, from a career, like from a job. So I'm leery about if it's by the people for the people, and we're trying to elect someone to represent us, but he has never been in our shoes. That concerns me. Again, well, nothing about religion, Scott. It's just about he's just out of touch.
No, but I think, Stuart, what a lot of people are saying about remarks like that against Ramaswamy, and I don't think his campaign would pick me to be their spokesperson, but I think a lot of people would say, well, when is the last time Mike DeWine or John Kasich, who have been Republican governors for the last 16 years, had a callus on their hand?
A long time, if ever. And, right. But that's proven my point even more. What's DeWine's approval rating? What do people think about Kasich? No, I think they've done a terrible job. And I don't think they really represent real conservative values. And I think they've been out of touch for a long time. So when President Trump and Mike DeWine endorsed Ramaswamy, I mean, especially when Mike DeWine endorsed Ramaswamy, I think Ramaswamy probably cringed a little bit because Mike DeWine's approval rating is so low.
Well, they were together at Ohio State games. We did see that. I don't know what conversations they were having. But Stuart, let me ask you this. You're going to abstain from the primary, but we don't know what's going to happen on May the 5th, but if the polls are right, it's looking like Ramaswamy is going to be the candidate. If he is the Republican candidate for governor in November, which is not too far off, will you vote for him?
I don't know yet. I mean, probably. But I would do more research. But it's one of those, like, that's one of the problems with the elections. It's like, too often we're left with choices where we're holding our nose to vote, or we're voting against something instead of for something. And that was part of the reason why I was hoping that Heather wasn't a lunatic narcissist and that we'd give people a real option where you weren't holding your nose or you weren't voting against somebody, but you're actually voting for somebody. And I truly believe that if Ramaswamy wins the nomination, I think people will be voting against Amy and not for Ramaswamy. And that's a sad situation with 11 million people in Ohio that we can't nominate a conservative individual that we can actually stand behind.
Just your quick thoughts on Amy Acton. What do you make of her?
I think it's bogus that people say it's shut down Amy. You know why? Because Amy wasn't governor. So Mike DeWine's the one that shut the government down over COVID. I think when she grew up, she grew up tough, right? Homeless were part of it. I think Amy is probably a great person, but I think the Democratic politics might be her undoing. I've been so focused on the Republican primary, I can't tell you that I've done some in-depth deep dive with Ms. Acton. She seems to be a nice lady. Is she the best option for governor? I don't know, Scott. I really don't know.
Well, and you'll do your research between now and then, and I'm not asking you to make a decision here this morning, but is there even a possibility that you could vote for Amy Acton?
I don't think so, and it's only because I don't trust the Democratic. I mean, I'm sorry, not Democratic. I don't trust the Democrat platform issues. I'm not for the big spending and I don't want to say socialism, but I just don't agree with the platforms of the Democratic Party. So this has nothing to do with Amy. Like, this is not a personal thing with Amy, but as a conservative person, my values line up a lot more with the Republicans than the Democrats.
how, if you had to predict, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, we're less than 15 days away. I know who you would vote for if you were going to vote. Obviously not a fan of Heather Hill. How do you think this will all play out on May the 5th?
Well, I'm saying traditionally, usually the endorsed candidate wins. So, I would be pleasantly surprised if the endorsed candidate does not win, but, you know, I mean, if we're being honest with each other, because I don't even think the poly market odds have Ramaswamy with a pretty hefty betting odds favorite to win the primary.
What was the moment in your mind that you broke ranks with Heather Hill? What if you had to define one moment in all of this, when was the moment?
So I was getting slapped on the face, and you're supposed to turn the other cheek as a Christian. And again, I'd slap on the face, I'd turn the other cheek, and then you run out of cheeks eventually. So the moment was when we were talking about campaign team positions and issues. Again, NDA covers that. I'm not going to give Heather any lawsuit fodder. But the crux of it was that she... Now, I spent $25,000 on my own money, and it hurt. It hurt my family. Thousands of hours towards a campaign. With the axe tax, you know, with that incentive, I bought 4 yard signs and a banner off the website, so I spent about $500 with axe tax. And any time that I was getting campaign signatures for Heather, petition signatures, a lot of times I was also getting signatures, or I would be supporting the axe attacks at the same time. And Heather said that she wishes that I would have spent as much money and time and effort with our campaign, the Heather Hill campaign, as it did for the axe attacks campaign. And that was like, oh, and then she said, especially considering that at the end of this, I'd have $180,000 a year job as lieutenant governor. So spending all that time together, she felt I was motivated by money, which I'd be taking a pay cut from running my businesses to do that. And then she completely discredited or just overlooked my contributions that me and my family have made for her campaign. So that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
If she had not said the things and distanced herself from you this past weekend, would you have ever left the campaign willingly?
Oh, I did. I did, Scott. I did a week before. So I didn't formally submit my resignation. I didn't make it public. But when she said that was Sunday, a week and a half ago. And I said, well, I emphatically said, I'm done. And Heather could have just let things run off in the sunset. But no, she wanted to completely do a nuclear blast on my family and my character and my businesses. So, and then she's the one that put out there, you know, I've been in touch with the Secretary of State's office, and Stuart Motes is no longer, you know, my lieutenant governor, and we're going to get him replaced, which I don't know if that's true. I mean, that was a Saturday. I don't think the Secretary of State is open on a Saturday.
No, I think they've said that, yeah, your name's going to stay on the ballot, I believe. I believe that's the ruling that's come down.
Well, yeah, so I question that her facts were so incorrect, which again, I mean, you know, she's put lies out there all the time. So, I mean, I wasn't shocked that, you know, she put lies out or inconsistencies or false information out there when she made those posts. But yes, and so she cannot replace me, and the campaign is dead if I go to Columbus today and I submit my formal resignation.
So she knew that you were not going to be a part of the campaign before she started making these comments.
That is 100% correct.
But you would not have made it public.
That is correct.
Okay, and we're just running out. We'll have to get you back, because this is an interesting conversation. But I guess the final question here is, do you wish that you had not said things about her looks in regard to the blue pills and not you wouldn't pull her close? I understand that you didn't pull her close, but it seems to be making references toward her looks. Do you wish you hadn't done that?
Yes, yes. But here's the difference, Scott. It's like, just because it's inconvenient and that's something that I regret saying, I'm not Heather. I'm not going to pull it off of there just because there's a part of that video that puts me in a bad light. Because, again, it's like, I have integrity, so I'm not just going like, oh, let me pull the video down because, you know, I said something about her looks that was a little over the top. True, but over the top. That's not me.
Stuart, and we're running out of time here, but one word to describe Heather Hill at this point. What would you say?
Narcissist.
All right. The guest has been Stuart Motes. He is the former lieutenant gubernatorial candidate for Heather Hill in the Republican primary coming up on May the 5th. But because of the way things are, his name will appear on the ballot. What would you say to people who were going to vote for Heather Hill and you at this point? Your name will appear on the ballot. What would you say to them with 20 seconds left to go?
It's on the ballot for now, but I appreciate the support. And really what it is, it's more about the concept of, hey, let's look at some grassroots candidates, and hopefully we can have some high-character candidates in the future. It will not be me. I am out of politics now, but just look for some grassroots alternatives in the future.
All right. Stuart Motes, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I sincerely appreciate it, and hopefully you'll come back with us in the future.
Indeed. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Stuart. Bye-bye. All right, Stuart Motes, that was an interesting interview. We'll come back right after this.
And help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear.